This morning, the announcement that I have for you is one which we've been dreading and one which most of you already know. On June 6th, in the evening, Pastor Emery fell asleep in the Lord, awaiting their resurrection. It seems a little strange for me to be standing here in Pastor Emery's pulpit giving this announcement. It's not easy for any of us. The funeral has been arranged. It will be on this coming Wednesday at 2 o'clock at Green Acres Cemetery Mortuary, located on North Hayden Road. The sad news that we share this morning is shared by many thousands across the land. At this time, I'll have Les Lindzig to come forward and lead us in prayer and share a few thoughts with us. Les?
Shall we bow our heads? Almighty God, our Father, this company is gathered together this day in memory of your servant Sheldon, who you have gathered to your house to await our reunion. Grant those that are left behind, friends, relatives, and especially Sheldon's wife, Elaine, peace and tranquility during these difficult days, secure in the knowledge of a sure reunion in the fullness of time. Give to all of us the wisdom to keep that which you have committed to us to do in continuing the great work of our departed pastor. And while Sheldon rests with that grand company that is your particular treasure, we who are left look forward to the day when your overshadowing hand will touch their slumbers and we shall all be together again. Father, as we stand here in this quiet place, quiet our hearts and remind us that in your infinite wisdom, you will beckon us too to the new order which you have ordained, a new order without pain or suffering. Bless and keep Pastor Emery's loved ones, and we thank thee for the influence he has had on each of us and for the countless thousands across this land. Remind us that death is but a night of sleep, and in the morning we shall meet again. Hear us, we pray, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start with a few remarks, and particularly with a scripture passage that I know you've heard many times, and it's this: Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath in store for those who love him. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, in the 8th verse, there's a short passage of just 11 words, 11 tremendous words that for me at least fit our pastor perfectly, and they are, "Blessed are the pure in heart," and certainly that was Pastor Emery. But the 5 words that follow those first 6 are so profound and illuminating, so full of comfort and awe, they cut through all of the doubts and fears and platitudes and directly answer the question of ultimate destiny. And here they are: "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The mind of man cannot even imagine the awesome splendor of such a meeting, but for now, it is enough to know that it will take place. There are no conditions. Sheldon's great meeting is established and scheduled. His welcome is assured. The covenant people across the nation have lost a giant, and we must say goodbye to a friend. As we gather here this morning, I'm certain that Sheldon would have wanted anything we might have to say to be words of encouragement, words of hope, words of instruction, according to Holy Writ. He would have wanted our sorrow to be not a death, but a temporary absence. And I think he would have wanted us to understand that death is a required part of God's great plan for his people. 1 Corinthians 15:19 reads this way: "If in this life only we have hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead to become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all men die, so in Christ shall all men be made alive." And in verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." So death is a part of our Lord's merciful plan to prepare his sons and daughters for the kingdom of God on earth. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom, therefore flesh and blood must die. But death is described as a sleep, scores of times in bold in the New Testament. And all who have gone before us are asleep, and we await the day of joyful reunion, marvelous and exciting, rewarding beyond our comprehension. Today, as we meet here, God's finger has beckoned our beloved pastor, and now he sleeps for a little while. Let us comfort ourselves with the sure knowledge that Pastor Sheldon will be in that great congregation when Christ calls his sleeping ones forth, and we shall be reunited in happy perpetuity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sheldon will want to see each of you in that company. We shall meet again. God keep us sure.
Thank you, Les. All across America, people are mourning for the death of our beloved Pastor Emery. Men, women, children, young and old alike, who had come to depend upon his voice. The radio broadcasts, the tapes, his writings and his newsletters. All of these things, people have come to love Pastor Emery through. Israel has always mourned at the passing of one of her great men, and Pastor Emery has been a vessel in the hand of the God of Israel. One of the verses that Pastor Emery read many times to his people was the one in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, which says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." And Pastor Emery read this many times, showing how that the Lord brought his Israel people to America. And then verse 15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Pastor Emery, I believe, was one of these pastors given to Israel by our God. I believe Pastor Emery was one of those brought upon this land to feed us, all of us, with knowledge and understanding, just as the scripture indicated. He was used of God. At his death, what better thing then could be said? What could be greater than an epitaph which would read, "He was used of God"? The hearts of thousands across America will attest to the fact that Pastor Emery was used of God, and we praise the Lord that this is the case. He was God's man of the hour. He was the man who help so many to understand the Word of God. And you and I should be so fortunate that at our death, something like that could be said of us, that we were used of God. Now, in our mourning, let's not hold it back as if it were something bad or something to be ashamed of, because it isn't. It's a godly thing to mourn the loss of our loved ones, and especially the great men in Israel, and such a beloved leader as Pastor Emory was. But at the same time, let's look for what the Lord would have us to learn during this time. The time of mourning is a moment in which certain lessons can be learned, lessons which cannot be learned at any other time in one's life. The spirit of mourning opens the heart's doors for something from God. So as we continue on, and as we keep looking to Jesus for our sustenance, let us look for something from Him at this time. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. And we read this: "A good name is better than a precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Now that's kind of strange. Why would the day of one's death be better than the day of one's birth? He goes on to say, "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better." The heart is made better by sadness. "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." The things that we learn from considering death are for the benefit of the living. And the scripture tells us that you and I can learn valuable lessons by considering things concerning death and its attendant pains and sorrows. "By the sadness, the heart is made better." This is that door that I'm speaking of, the precious door of wisdom that's opened to God by the sorrow of our mourning. One of the greatest mysteries of life is death. Never does any man fall asleep in death, but that we always wonder, why? Why him? Why did it happen now? Now, listen to the wisdom of God's word on this matter. Let it pass through that door of learning and sink deep into our hearts. Psalm chapter 68, verse 20 says, "He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. In other words, the reasons of death, the times of death, the circumstances, and the effects of death all belong to the Lord. They are understood only by Almighty God. Those are the issues from death. The wisdom in this, then, is to place faith in God in these matters. Faith that He knows what He's doing. Now, it's not wrong for us to wonder about the issues, but we mustn't despair because we can't understand them. God understands. God knows. They belong to Him alone to understand. And another thing, God has mercy upon us in mourning. He loves us, and He shares in our sorrow. He actually empathizes with us as we mourn, and He lifts us up. Psalm 103, verses 13 through 17. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." You see, He knows us better than we know ourselves. He grants us grace to pull us through times of sorrow such as this. And He reminds us that we need Him and that He loves us and keeps us. And He causes us to know that this all is ordained of Him. As for man, His days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Job kind of sums it all up in chapter 14, where he says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." Life is a fleeting thing. We must make the most of it while it's here, while it flourishes. And that means we must invest our lives in the service of our Lord. If anything we do is to mean anything. In everything we do on this earth, we must do it in service to Jesus and invest ourselves in his kingdom. Pastor Emery did that. He expended himself in serving and in preaching the kingdom of God. He certainly fought the good fight and kept the faith. I thank our Lord Jesus, and I consider myself the most fortunate of men for having been able to watch the movings and the accomplishments of God, which were done through this man. To work with Pastor Emery and to learn from and with him, it's been a most rare and unique experience. A most unique experience. And we must all thank God that we were able to, each one of us, have Pastor Emery for that time that God shared him with us. For the time that God gave him to us was very special. And for the time that his dear wife and his children and his grandchildren had him, we must think of that rather than the fact that we have him with us no more. Let's be thankful that God was pleased to give him to us for that time. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That means that God has concern when it comes to the death of one of his faithful servants. There was a precious death last Thursday when Pastor Emery died. He was not only a saint, he was a leader of saints. Now, as for us and for his family, and especially you, Elaine, whom he loved more than anything on this earth, and I'm told that his last spoken words were of his love for you. In our sorrow and in your sorrow, I'd like for us to remember that our God, our Lord, cares for us and holds us up. I'd like to have Faye come forward and sing a special song which will help us remember that our Savior still cares for us and that he will lead us through whatever may come. And we should know that all this will make us stronger.
Oh,
Seated, and we'll have a closing prayer. Almighty God, God of our fathers, we thank you for this man, Pastor Emery, that we had the privilege to know, that we had the privilege to learn from. We thank you for bringing him into our midst and for making us acquainted with him. We thank you for the life that he lived for you. We thank you for the witness that he was to us and the others across this land. We thank you for your love that you showed to your people Israel through the workings of this ministry through Pastor Emery. We pray for comfort for his family, for faith for those of us looking to the future. We pray for courage to go on and strength to carry on the work that must be done. Pastor Emery's fight is now over, and for those of us who remain, we pray that our strength and our faith will be such as we can continue to stand in the same ways that Pastor Emery has. Give us the wherewithal to continue this battle and to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen.